morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Now, before we do anything else,
easy,
I need to do this.
No, not easy now. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, old Timotheus. Happy birthday to you.
You're humbling me, brother.
And many more.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, brother.
I asked you earlier, I said, which one is this? I thought it was maybe, I don't know, up in the 70s, mid-70s, but 54.
Hard life. I may sound like I'm 74.
You kind of sound like. You sound more like me all the time. There's something wrong with that now.
There's something wrong.
You're copying after your pastor.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
Well, all right.
If, if anybody's going to copy after your pastor, it'd be me.
You'd be good to me.
I'll do my very best.
I see, folks, I'm mean to him. He's good to me. That just don't seem right. Well, it is Christmas time.
Well, and that's what we're instructed to do.
Yeah.
You know,
do not return evil for evil. Right.
That's what it says. Yeah. In your anger, do not sin.
I don't love anger with you. I love it. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
If somebody out there has a question or comment or something, Christmas time stirs a lot of emotion. Maybe you want to give us a call. You can do that 789-0318, 789-0318. Or you can email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com.
I'm looking at it right now, Timotheus, and there's actually nothing except, inbox zero. Well, we'd rather see something in there.
Yeah.
We'd rather someone.
Well, as long as it's not advertisement.
Yeah. Well, we haven't had many advertisements here lately.
Thank goodness.
Did you stop them?
No.
But I think you have to pay extra to stop them, don't you?
Probably.
I figure maybe you'd
They just figure we're not worth it.
You don't have. Well, maybe so.
We're not responding.
We delete them. You know, I've got family coming in this weekend, being probably Saturday afternoon, maybe Saturday evening, depends on if the son-in-law has to work Saturday. Mm-hmm. And this is our oldest daughter and husband and kids, Jason, Daniel, Ward, and Jake, and Joe. And, of course, we'll have Dustin and Andrea, Caroline, Annabelle, Millie, and now H.L. or Harrison.
Harrison.
It's just a lot easier to say H.L.
Yeah.
over. Just going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. And we want to wish everyone, do we not, Timotheus?
Absolutely.
A Merry Christmas with their families. I thought about a family just recently whose Christmas has changed drastically. And I know a lot of families' Christmases have changed with the loss of loved ones. But I don't know that I've ever heard of a family that has lost as many as the family of Joe and Clarice Holcomb. Now, they live in Sutherland Spring, Texas. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because, that's where the church was opened. A fellow came in, opened fire, and killed so many in that church. The Holcombs, Joe is 86, and his wife Clarice is 85, and they lost, Timotheus, they lost family members spanning three generations.
Wow.
Was back in November, early part of November, the 5th, I believe. They lost their son, Brian. He was killed.
Mm.
And they lost their daughter-in-law, Carla, their grandson, Danny, their daughter-in-law, Crystal, her unborn child, and four great-grandchildren, Noah, Greg, Emily, and Megan. And someone said, I just wonder how they're coping. And so Time Magazine said, Papa Joe, that's what they call him, Papa Joe. He says, everybody always wants us to be whimpering and crying because we lost some of our family. That's not the way we are. It happened and it hurt. But we don't look at death as separation. We look at it as just another event in life. Then he said this, it won't be long until we'll be there with the rest of the family. Yes, I miss my family. We don't see them coming down the sidewalk at the front door anymore. But I won't miss them for long.
There's a man with some deep root.
The Bible talks
about the tree by the stream.
Oh, yeah.
He's been living by the stream.
Oh, yeah. His root is deep. His leaf never withers.
Yeah.
I want to have that kind of faith. I want to believe
Don't
that if Ann and I were celebrating Christmas this year and none of our family was alive, I want to believe that I want to think that I would respond that way. I want to.
We're tested in many ways as Christian people.
Oh, my.
But I don't know how much more of a test you could have than what you just described.
Yeah. You know, according to psychologists, there's a tremendous increase in depression associated with Christmas time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide rates go up. There was one particular survey I was reading that said that 45% of all people who responded to one of their surveys, 45% dread Christmas.
Wow.
And then you've got loneliness at the nursing homes and in people's own homes, older adults. There's such an epidemic. New research indicates that millennials... what age group is that now, Timotheus?
I think they're about the 30-year-old group, aren't they?
Says they're twice as likely as the elderly to have no one to spend Christmas with. So we all have feelings of loneliness and depression. That goes along with being human. Plus, it also is due to our sin nature, our fallenness.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in this world has been cursed. And that may sound like a strange thing to say at Christmas time, but you see, Christmas is all about the Christ child coming to end the curse.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And so we rejoice, but we have to paint the picture in its totality.
Yeah.
And there's a dark background to mankind. I remember one time Mark Twain was asked, who do you think is the worst, black men or white men? Mark Twain responded, I care not whether a man is black or white. The fact that he is a man is bad enough.
Yeah.
And Twain was right.
Amen.
I was reading recently, I got to thinking about, you know, we have these moments where we say, woe is me. We just feel like nobody knows how we feel, and we're kind of wallowing in self-pity a little bit. And I was doing that not too long ago. Then I read something about...
The great Scott?
Oh, mercy, yes. Yes,
wallows
yes.
A little bit?
Yes, mercy's sakes. What's today, 21st?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually the anniversary of this was the 19th, which would have been
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
An anniversary in American history. Now, Timotheus, I know you know this because American history books are all over your place. You've got them right on your nightstand, I know. But 240 years ago, 12,000 retreating American soldiers set up camp at a place called Valley Forge in Pennsylvania, as I like to call it. Over 2,500 plus froze to death or would die of starvation and various diseases. A governor there in New York, his name was Morris, not Morris Scott. We don't want to confuse Governor Morris with Morris Scott. Later described, quote, a skeleton of an army in a naked, starving condition, out of health, out of spirits. End of quote. Just what got to thinking, how many people would fit that description today? Just a skeleton of a person, not enough clothing to wear. Starving to death, out of spirits, just ready to die.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to put a burden and lay a burden or a wet blanket on Christmas time, but it's something to ponder, something to think about. There are people right now who are thinking about Christmas. They're thinking, in 4 days, I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be miserable. Think about that.
Yeah.
We were at the nursing home 2 weeks ago in Prestonsburg, and we'll be at the nursing home the end of this month. And the folks over there, you would think that a lot of people think that those folks have a lot of visitors and their family comes to see them. And a lot of families do come to see them, no question about that. But there's a lot of them that are alone, too.
Yeah.
and you really want to do something that'll make you feel better. It's a strange thing to both of us. The more we do for one another, it reverberates. It's kind of like the boomerang, you know.
Yeah.
It comes back on us. We feel better about it. And if you're feeling depressed, really depressed right now, and you haven't been out of the house, don't want to get out of the house, there was a famed psychiatrist back in the 50s. His name escapes me at the moment, but he said that if people would simply get up, go out, do something good for a neighbor, go down to the hospital, visit a hospital ward, visit a nursing home, he said if people would do that, a large portion of the people in the mental institutions could be dismissed tomorrow.
Wow. And that's true. I believe there's a lot of truth to that.
I think
not only doing something good makes you feel better, but it shows you your blessings. Because if you go see somebody that is bedfast or is in a nursing home that can't get out,
yeah,
you're able to get out and go do something.
Amen.
And it causes you to look and say, you know what? I'm more blessed than they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see that.
A lot of people are just frozen in indecision.
I think a lot of us, Jerry, and maybe I'm getting off base, I hope not, think that, you know, the Christian life, we're supposed to be happy.
Yeah.
Everybody is supposed to be happy. There's a difference in happiness and joy.
Major difference.
And that's something I've struggled with, is happiness and joy. How can there be so much turmoil around me? Because the Bible says we're to be a peculiar people. So we're not of this culture. And that makes us sad, you know, because people will disagree with us. People
sure.
will put us down.
Sure.
They'll call us bigots and everything else. But then inside, when we have all that turmoil going around the outside, we have peace and joy and love in our hearts.
Absolutely.
And that's hard, I think, for new Christians to understand and to deal with, and especially at Christmas time.
I agree. And I think a large part of that is because, and I know it's true, it's been true in my life. I think it's true in a lot, if not most. I would say upwards of 95% of all Christians is that when they first start out, they're expecting this tremendous 100% transformation
mm-hmm.
of their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, and it just doesn't happen that way. What we have is a new standing with Christ. When I became a Christian, my spiritual residence changed. Now, my physical residence was the same place,
mm-hmm.
wherever I was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I began to reside in the heavenlies, according to the Bible. And, of course, we walk by faith, right?
Not by sight.
Not by sight. And so my faith comes by hearing, and hearing
by the Word.
And so as I read and feast upon the Word, my inner being is empowered. What happens is most Christians don't read and feed on the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the least little problem they have, and Satan will see to it that you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He will tempt you in a variety of ways. The next thing you know, 30 days have gone by, you haven't prayed, you haven't read your Bible, and you haven't been to church in the last 2 weeks. So you just kind of slip out the back door. It happens, and Satan knows that we're fickle. We're fickle.
Yeah.
This is why it's so vitally important for a new Christian to get in some kind of accountability group, to get into a group of older Christians, more mature, find you a Christian a brother, find you a Christian man who's mature in the Lord, and dog his every step.
Mm-hmm.
A Christian sister, find you a mature sister. That's better than saying an older sister. Find you a mature sister.
Which you just did.
Which I just did, yeah. Find you a mature sister in the Lord. And dog her every step. If there's a class that she's involved in, go to it. Stay close. That's what I tell folks. That's what I'm telling folks right now. You can't survive as a child of God if you separate yourself from the fold. And there's so many people that do that. I told a young man recently. I said, "Where's your home church, brother?" And oh, he just visits around. He goes from this church to that church, another church. He's a church hopper. That's what he is. And the reason he does that, or the reason a lot of people do that, is they don't want any responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And no church is going to call on them for anything or expect anything out of them because they're always a visitor. And I said, find you a church. Pick one. Decide which one you're going to belong to and then get with it. And but most folks don't do that. Thank God for those who do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the ones that keep the thing. Someone said to W.A. Criswell one time, he was the pastor at First Baptist in Dallas years ago, we were there for about 50 years. And they said to him, they said, there's no way in the world that you can know all of your members. No way. I had 30,000 membership.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, you're right. I don't know all of the members of our church, but I do know the pillars.
Yeah.
What support the church.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so thank God for those who day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, revival meeting year in, year out, special services year in, they're always there.
Yeah.
And they're dependable. And I want to thank God for all of you who make the church what it is.
Yeah.
You got to have a lot of times people will say something to me like, well, thanks for taking care of that, or really appreciate you going that extra mile. And I used to try to explain it. You know, well, that's really not me. That's this person. Anymore, I just smile and say, you're welcome, and move on.
Because you represent us, brother.
I try. Trying to do
you
that.
Do very well.
And so it takes all of these parts in the body. Now, I have many parts of my body.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this time of year, our body parts are expanding. I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to loosen my belt in the next few days if I don't watch myself. But the church is like that.
Yeah.
We've got eyes, we've got ears, we've got hands, we've got feet. So it takes everybody. Without volunteers, the church couldn't survive. Couldn't survive.
I want to ask you to forgive me because I want to jump back a little bit. Don't mean to jump around
here. No, let's jump back.
But something came to my mind when you was talking about going and visiting somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe in a nursing home, and we talked about, you know, sometimes people aren't as fortunate as you, and you realize how blessed you are. Then sometimes, and this is a true story, I met a lady one time, was completely blind, and she's completely deaf. Now, her husband had lost his sight because of diabetes, but he could hear. And she was making noise one morning, and I thought, I wonder what she's doing. And I was afraid to go ask, but I couldn't help myself, and I went to him, and I said, would you mind telling me what she's doing? He said, she's singing.
Oh, my. My, my.
Now, you take somebody that is completely blind, completely deaf. Mm. What a lonely world that would be. You never heard a voice.
Yeah.
You never saw a person, but still had enough joy in her heart to sing.
Yeah.
What have I got to be so down about?
Absolutely.
And that's a true story.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah. That'll make you think.
That'll make you think.
She was a blessing to my life.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well.
Mm.
You're talking about her age. How old was she?
At the time, she was, I'm guessing, in her 60s, maybe?
Yeah.
Early 60s, or late 60s?
I can beat that. I can beat that, Timothy.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I had a visit yesterday.
I didn't know it was a competition, but that's okay.
Everything has to be. I've got to stay one step ahead of you, brother.
Okay.
I had a visit yesterday from three ladies.
Oh.
Yeah, one of them was, let's see now. Did she tell me 96 or 97?
I know where we're going with this. Yeah.
98. Well, I was getting closer. Your grandmother.
Yeah.
Your Marie.
Yes.
And your mother.
Yes.
Betty Jo.
Yes.
And your sister.
Yes.
Jeanette came yesterday morning. I went out to start the car. I was going somewhere, and they were going around the block, and they stopped. And boy, we had a wonderful visit. Your grandmother looked well.
Yeah.
And so
she's had a good few days, that's for sure.
Yeah, she has. And it was really...
She is a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have to go around the block. They didn't have to stop, but they did. And I was glad to see her.
Yeah.
Sure, glad to see them all.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure they're listening probably.
Well, I hope so. 7-7-8-9-0-3-1-8. Did I get that number right?
Yes, 0-3-1-8.
0-3-1-8, if you'd like to make a comment. You wanted to call and wish Timotheus a happy birthday. You could do that, you know. He's going to get me for that.
Just bring money.
Just try money.
I learned that from a pastor too.
That's what one preacher said one time. This fellow just bragging on him. He said, you really want to thank me? He said, I sure do. He said, try money.
Try cash.
That stopped it right there.
Talk is cheap.
Sure, talk is cheap. So you could email us also. How would they do that, Timothy?
GodsPointOfView@yahoo.com. That's GodsPointOfView@yahoo.com.
So, talking about people that aren't as fortunate, and sometimes those folks that aren't as fortunate, like the lady you were talking about who was mm-hmm. deaf and blind, and if you can't hear, you can't speak right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people lose the ability to speak because they lose their hearing.
Yeah.
But I thought about the true story of the comedian Jimmy Durante. Now, the old folks listening will remember Jimmy Durante. You're an old folk, so I'm sure, Timothy, you remember Jimmy Durante. Jimmy Durante had a television program on back, I guess, in the 50s, early 60s, and he was a character, a comedian. He's the one that used to go out with the spotlight, you know, and he'd say, good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. Never knew who she was. If somebody knows who she was, they could call us, couldn't they?
They could.
Or email us.
And give the information.
Well, we're desperate for somebody to do something today, aren't we?
We are.
So Jimmy Durante was given a performance one time to a group of individuals, and he was told that there were some veterans in the audience, and he did it free of charge. And he said, but now I've got another event back-to-back. If you want me to come, I'd just be there for 15 minutes. And they said, well, all right. So he came, and he went the 15 minutes. They were expecting him to close out, but he didn't. He stayed another 15 minutes, and that 15 minutes ran into an hour. He was there for two solid hours. He missed his other date and lost money.
Mm.
They asked him when he walked off stage, why did you stay all this time? They loved it. Why did you do it? We knew your schedule was tight. He said, I hadn't planned to until I saw two men sitting on the front row. One had lost his left arm in the war, and one had lost his right arm in the war. And they sat next to each other, and they relied on one another to clap.
Wow.
And he said, I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
Now, you know,
that'll touch you. Right
oh,
there.
Mercy sakes. There's a lot of people that have suffered tremendously, and yet they still have a good attitude. We're talking about the nursing home. There's an old brother in the nursing home, and every time I go over there to talk with him, I have to really allot some time because he likes to talk. But it's worth it. It's really worth it.
Yeah.
789-0318.
What a gift that would be to give somebody. Some time.
Yeah, time. Well, time is the most valuable commodity we have.
Yeah. We're only allotted so much of it.
Yeah, and the apostle said redeeming the time because the days, well, the days are evil.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to be wishing anybody happy Merry Kwanzaa this year, Timothy?
No.
Happy Kwanzaa, Merry.
No.
No. That's
you?
I haven't yet. somebody might want to research that and find out.
I do my best because you go to the stores and you see the people working and they, a lot of them do such a wonderful job.
Yeah.
I try to look them in the eye and tell them Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Make sure that I mean what I say. Let's go to the phone lines.
All right.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment?
Yes, Tim. I just want to wish you, my cousin Tim Collins and Jerry Scott and me, blessed Christmas and a wonderful Happy New Year. Don't eat too much.
Ho, ho, ho.
We'll try not to, sweetheart.
I love you both.
We love you too.
Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Bless you now.
Bye.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
I just want to say happy birthday to my dear and Merry Christmas to both of you and Happy New Year. And absolutely,
God bless you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
God bless
you.
Thank you.
Merry
Thanks
Christmas
so much.
To you.
Merry Christmas.
You.
Merry Christmas. That was nice. Both those calls were nice.
That was sweet.
Have you gotten many Christmas cards this year, Timothy?
No.
It seems like Christmas cards have kind of tapered off. Of course, I can't complain about them because
we do send electronically.
We send a few, but not many.
Yeah.
And a lot of people keep score, you know, on Christmas cards. Well, you didn't send me one 2 years in a row, so I won't send you one. That kind of,
And not for people that know me, yeah. I'm not offended by that.
Oh, no, no, neither am I. You're neither not. Am I.
It's okay.
Christmas cards have changed a lot over the years.
Oh, haven't they, though?
Do you know where the tradition started tomorrow?
No, I do not.
Would you like me to enlighten you
on this? Yes, I would.
Sending Christmas cards actually started with one guy who said, "I'm just too busy to send personal notes."
His last name wasn't Hallmark, was it?
No. Okay. His name was Cole, Henry Cole. He was an Englishman. Okay. He felt that life was moving so fast that he couldn't afford a personalized greeting to all of his friends. Mm-hmm. So he hired an artist by the name of John Horsley. He designed a card that could be sent in place of a handwritten note. And so that man's busyness spawned an entire industry of greeting cards. But there was a difference in his card. You see, his card didn't depict snow or reindeer or wreaths or even presents.
Mm.
It pictured people feeding the poor, clothing the needy, with a family celebrating Christmas with acts of service. That was the first Christmas card.
Wow. Wow.
All right, now that I've made us all feel selfish and self-centered, but folks, I don't need to comment on that. Everybody understands that we need to be doing something to help somebody. Yes, at Christmas time.
Yeah.
That's when it matters the most.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, great Scott.
Merry Christmas to Mothis, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ. We'd like to invite you to services Sunday morning. This Sunday will be at 9:30 a.m. for Sunday school, 10:30 a.m. for Sunday morning worship, and then we'll have services again Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So if you can, come and be with us. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.